Knowledge Fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot, Jordan, is I mentioned this to you the other night, and that is that Hope Springs Eternal.
Sure.
Is
that the first time you've mentioned that to me the other night?
No, but it this context, yes.
Okay.
I just saw recently that there's a new Sonic game coming
That's
out.
That's right, yes.
A new 3D Sonic game.
Yes. Yes.
And I was a big fan when I was 19, 20-ish of Sonic
course.
Adventure 2 Battle.
Right.
Played the hell out of that on a GameCube.
Okay.
Big fan. The rest of the games of that ilk?
Absolute garbage sauce.
So bad.
Really terrible.
So bad.
What do? You go forward.
Yeah, Sonic 3D games have had a very bad reputation, and I don't think that Sonic Adventure 2 Battle has even looked at very kindly by history.
Eh, don't go back.
I'm gonna.
Okay.
This new one, when it comes out, I'm gonna try it.
Well, there you go.
I can't not. Hope springs eternal, my friend.
Hope does seem to spring eternal.
You could be burned over and over again and come back to that blue hedgehog.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said about a hedgehog that goes fast. I don't know what to say about that. It doesn't really make sense, but it is a part of my brain forever.
There's something also, I think, just really evocative about that sound when you get a ring.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
It takes you back.
It's really satisfying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, my bright spot will soon be a black spot.
Will be a dark spot in a couple of weeks.
So yes. What about you?
I have a bittersweet bright spot. Over the weekend, the Laver Cup happened.
Ooh.
Named after Rod Laver. He was a tennis player.
Okay. And oh, I should have known.
The cup is about tennis.
Mm.
Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal played a doubles match, and it was the last match of Roger Federer's career.
And it's just sort of like an exhibition kind of thing, just for fun, right?
Yeah, yeah. For them, it was. Yeah.
Yeah
for
yeah.
everybody else there was like a tournament or whatever. But for the two of them, they're like, "What are we? We're just here for fun."
Yeah, this is just for show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
fun. That's
they,
nice.
They had a great time. They were then afterwards, everyone cried uncontrollably.
Aww.
It was ridiculous to see, like, just grown men openly weeping in front of thousands of people.
Pete Sampras was there waving.
I mean,
Andre
no,
Agassi.
No, he's not allowed back in.
Oh.
Britain doesn't want him.
Oh, no.
He won just enough Wimbledons. But it was a really, really amazing moment that you will never, ever witness again.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Well, I bore of tennis, but
yes.
I am very happy for you. And everyone else who enjoyed that—that's a big, that's a big time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's huge.
So Jordan, today we have an episode to go over. We're
going
to be talking about a special report that Alex put out on Saturday, September 24th, 2022.
Oh God, blackjack?
No. No, no, no.
No, this isn't a blackjack.
No, it's not. So at the end of last week, Alex had a blow up in court. And I did get a little bit of feedback that on our last episode where we talked to Elizabeth Williamson, did not give a whole lot of context for what was going on in the courtroom when Alex was having his blow up and
That is fair, yeah.
And one of the reasons for this was that I had some clips that I had prepared, but we had some recording difficulties, and I wasn't able to use a recording software that would allow us to use clips.
Of course.
And so we had our interview, and you know, the familiarity that the three of us had with what had happened.
Totally.
I got into that headspace where it's a little inside baseball-y.
Of course.
And I apologize. We should have done a little bit better job of laying some of the groundwork.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a little bit weird when all three of us have missed maybe 2 to 3 minutes of this entire trial.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how are we going to... Yeah, yeah, it's tough.
It's an unfair expectation that people should come to the show having already known all these things.
Of course, yeah.
And so, I mean, but when I reflect on it a little more, it is almost as easy as saying Alex had a blow up. Really,
it really is.
There is not a ton more to it. There was the he was being questioned about his coverage of Robbie Parker, and Chris Meddy asked him questions along the lines of, "You put a target on this guy's back, did you not?" And then Alex got really mad, started saying about how liberals wanted to kill people in Iraq.
There was that. Oh, you pick and choose who you care about. This is a trial about other stuff, Alex.
And meanwhile, Norm Pattis was yelling objection over and over again.
For anything and without the reason. It was like a TV show where somebody is pretending to be a lawyer and they just shout objection and the judge has to be like, you have to have a reason. And Norm was like, I'm a real technical lawyer in the universe. That's unbelievable.
He said objection more than Shakira.
Yeah.
She had a song called Objection. All right. Tango. All right. had the jury leave the courtroom, and the judge was confused by the fact that Norm was objecting to things that Alex was saying,
right,
as opposed to things that the other counsel was saying,
right.
And over the course of the day, it had happened repeatedly that Norm would make an objection, the judge would sustain it, and Alex will have already answered the question and won't stop talking.
Yeah, there's an issue there.
And so she constantly tried to explain to him, when your lawyer objects, stop talking.
Absolutely.
Because you might not have to answer that question.
It was,
and he did not seem to get that. It didn't register.
No. It was like watching a T-ball game where the kid hit the tee 3 straight times, and they're like, well, technically that's a strikeout, but this is T-ball, so I'm going to put it right back on that tee 1 more time. All right, Alex.
You can do this.
You hit the ball part, not the tee part. Oh, well, maybe next time.
And then the other thing that was a constant source of tension and a problem was that Alex would be asked yes or no questions and then answer with what was starting to be a monologue.
Yeah.
And he had to be reminded a number of times, you could just answer yes or no.
Well, the truth, if you answer yes or no, makes him look real bad. And the issue there is, which I feel like we don't fully all understand in the courtroom, the reason that they look bad is because he's guilty, and he has already been found guilty.
Or liable, or whatever the right terminology
is. Sure. But I mean, when you answer those questions, that you can't answer it in a way that's like, maybe I'm going to get off on this one. No, you did it! Mm-hmm. It's already been decided!
Yeah. So that happened on Thursday, and then on Friday, Norm announced that Alex was not going to be cross-examined. Yep. He was going to waive his right to cross-examine because Alex was going to leave town. He was going back to Austin.
It was a surprise move.
Yeah, and they reserved the right to call him again, and apparently early this week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, he's due to be back.
Right.
To be questioned some more.
Yeah, I believe if Meddy doesn't call him, Meddy reserved the right to call him again under subpoena, because that's what you would have to do at this point. But Norm has also said he's going to plan to call him to testify on his own behalf, and the main reason so he can actually monologue and not have to answer yes or no questions, basically.
Well, I mean, you know, where the bread is buttered and why Norm's getting a paycheck is, give me some time on that stand and run cover for me.
It is like the first time I think anybody's ever gotten airtime out of Alex. Or Alex has gotten airtime out of them.
Yeah. It's on the stand, not on cable, but it'll do.
It'll do.
So Alex came back to Austin. And, you know, why? Why did he do it? We have to see this Saturday show to find out.
Boy, I bet he's telling the exact same story that I would tell, which is that he got spanked and then ran away with his tail between his legs.
Nope, that is not it.
But that's not his story?
We'll learn a bit about what he has to say, but first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So these two just had a marriage, just got a marriage recently. So congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. McAwesome. You are now a Ballsy Wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you. Next, I'll be dreamier, creamier tomorrow. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, existential Greg. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, there's no info war in Fillory. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. That's a magician's reference.
Oh, okay. I was really worried it was something like problematic.
No. All good. Okay. Remember the thing I watched yet.
Yeah. And then we got a couple of technocrats here in the mix, Jordan. So first I want to say hello and thank you to Daddy's Kissy Boy. You are now a technocrat. And it's Gary with a hard G. And then there was a long explanation of how to pronounce this. Not like Jerry.
Okay.
It is Gary.
It's Gary.
Yes, it
is. All right. With a hard G.
It is.
Okay.
And you are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back. And I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'm doing all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you, but at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order, and fuck the horse you rode in on, and all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow, and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
Boy, he's not.
Oh, he's not?
This is not a good show.
Oh, that's not good.
But I will say, as I was preparing this, and as I was getting ready for you to show up, I really did feel like this. It feels like it's been a while since we've had an episode that was just clips.
It has been.
But it's really only just been two episodes that we had interviews.
Well, you know, for other people, they put out one episode a week. So they're like, well, what did we do in our last two episodes? That was practically a month ago. For us, like, what's our last two episodes? We did that yesterday.
Yeah, emotionally, it feels like it's maybe been a month.
It's been so long.
Yeah. But it is not. But nope. We are back.
All right.
After a breaky of interviews.
Ooh.
So, Alex came back from Connecticut, and there's a really big reason why, and it is the headline of his emergency
fire
Saturday.
Fire in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mushroom cloud size fire.
I just got back last night from Connecticut in the show trial, and I've been following the news globally of war escalating to incredibly dangerous levels in Ukraine, and I'm strongly considering not even going back to testify on my own behalf in our part of the trial, the show trial, because I'm that concerned I could get stuck there without my family when nuclear war breaks out. That's why I took my wife and my youngest daughter with me. The other children are grown up or almost out of school. Two are out. One is still in high school.
Okay.
And they've got my parents and family here. I mean, it's that serious, okay? And I've never acted like that. I've never behaved like that.
He's frequently acted like that. But yeah, apparently, I don't want to be stuck in Connecticut when the nukes start flying.
Hey, I mean, that's an all-time great excuse. That really is. That's not bad. If I was a teacher, if I was like a first grade teacher and a student was like, I'm not going to do that homework. And I was like, why? And they were like, well, assassination could happen at any moment to my father, and I don't want to be stuck doing homework instead of taking a bullet for him. Mm-hmm. Aren't you the bad person in this scenario?
I would rather. I'd love to do this book report, but Putin's out of hand.
Putin's lost it.
Yeah. Also, cool that his other kids can just be fine.
Yeah, sure.
They're cool. They're a little older.
Yeah, well, they're older. They'll handle nukes on their own. But the young ones, they don't know about nukes.
I don't mind being separated from them in the case of a nuke.
Yeah, the teens, listen, you don't want to be trapped inside with them even during a nuke. Sorry.
Anyway, I feel a lack of sincerity.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe nukes aren't the reason.
But that is the headline of the show. Like, nuclear war coming right around the corner.
Gotta stay at Austin.
And the New World Order is upon us.
Okay.
And there was something that slipped through here that, like, even I almost missed.
I seriously may not even be able to go to Connecticut and defend myself because it doesn't matter. We're going into a global depression. The borders are collapsing. People are dying by the millions from the poison shots. We are inside the New World Order, ladies and gentlemen. We are absolutely inside the global takeover, the Great Reset. It's all here. It's all happening just like they said they would do, and I've been warning for decades.
People are dying by the millions from the shots.
I was trying to get whether or not so he's saying that that's happening currently.
Yes.
We're losing millions of people.
Millions of people are dying because of the COVID
daily
vaccine.
Because of the COVID vaccine.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
How many millions of people? Okay. I feel like this is one of those math problems where you're like, okay, sure. You say a million a day. That's a problem. But it only takes like a week before it's 10 trillion people dead or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Population-wise. It's one of those problems. It's a nomial. Mm. Oh, boy. Can't remember.
Don't think that's right.
Nope. That's the wrong one.
Factorial? Shit.
Factorial. You got it.
That's probably not right either.
It doesn't sound right, but nope. I'm going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a little bit silly, but if you were to ask him about how he knows this, he'd say something about actuaries, and then we would move on. And
VAERS.
Sure.
VAERS data.
So there's nukes coming. It's going to happen.
I mean, if millions of people are already dying because of the vaccine, nukes seem almost like weak tea at this point.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how widespread it is, whether or not nukes would kill millions.
That's fair.
Certainly there would be fallout, and, you know, that could have some pretty serious after effects.
Well, it'd screw up air travel out of Connecticut. That's one thing we know for certain.
I find that difficult to understand the direct...
Even if there was a nuke, I think people would still be flying out of Connecticut.
Or you could rent a car. So, like,
listen, nobody's driving from Connecticut to Texas.
So the nukes, they're coming. But there's one way that we can stop this thing.
Okay.
And the way you trigger the public to peacefully protest and to flood the streets with candlelight vigils that transcend party is by taking this live show feed right now and sharing it on mainstream platforms like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and on Getter and independent groups like Gab and everywhere else, because you are the info warriors. And without you, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to be able to stop this. We have a good chance of stopping this, but even mainline analysts predict a 50% chance of a tactical nuclear war in the next few months in Europe. That will cause a global depression, incredible problems. It'll be nightmare beyond imagination. And mainline analysts, and I agree with them, give it about a 20% chance of a full-on nuclear war. So I have a lot of trouble focusing on all the side issues while this is going on.
Yeah, man, so if you want to stop nuclear war, you need to spread Alex's content all over the place. Free advertising for him,
sure.
Which will... initiate a series of bipartisan candlelight vigils
that
will convince Putin not to nuke anybody.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That is a good idea.
I mean, if you're Alex and you just want people to spread your shit around, then yes, it is a great idea.
I have a question, Dan. Yeah. Does he, and I'm going to throw this out, because I think based on what he's telling me, because nuclear war is so imminent and almost, frankly, unavoidable. I mean, it's a coin flip. 50-50. Whether or not we have a tactical nuclear war, which I would argue if you start with a tactical one, you're going to get a full one pretty quick.
Yeah, one leads to the other, I think.
Is he still selling stuff, though?
Oh, yeah.
But it feels like that's not important. You know, like if the court isn't important, if those tertiary things to nukes are not important, I feel like money is less important now than it's ever been.
Oh, you bet. It's not, though.
Oh, weird.
Alex spends... This is a three-hour-long special report that he did.
Yeah.
I would say 45 to 50 minutes are straight ads.
Oof.
It is so much.
I was going to say, how many clips... You've cut out all of the not ads, so we're going to listen to about 15 minutes of his show. Oh, boy.
I mean, I have kept in some of the ads just for flavor.
Well, of
but
course.
Like,
for funsies,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
So you got to take this seriously, though.
Obvious.
50-50 chance.
I mean, that's a trouble.
Yeah, that's very serious. You got to hug your kids.
Yeah.
People better take this more serious than anything they've ever taken in their lives. It's that real. You better kiss your children. You better hug them. You better hug your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your mom. You better get right with God. And I'm telling myself that. When I point my finger at you, three more pointing back at me. But we're coming under judgment, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before I hit all the serious documented news, for a couple weeks, I've been sent countless texts and seen countless videos talking about the 24th of September, 2022, and how all these historic things historically have happened on this date, and
how
it ties into the Jewish calendar and mysticism and the rest of it. I'm not putting any stock in that.
Clearly.
But every time the world's on the verge of a cataclysm, the general public will pick a date and decide it's that date that's causing it. It's not that date that's causing it. It's the place and point in time we're in right now. But regardless, it's something that if it gets the public's attention to be concerned, that's wonderful.
Hey, cool. So yeah, this September 24th stuff was like weird QAnon-ish nonsense that was going around online.
Naturally.
But how dare you, Alex? He talks about like the globalists choosing to do things on certain days because of the numbers and their arcane meaning.
Do you not remember when Mars was closer than it had been in 60,000 years? And he was like, yeah, they totally choose that day.
Uh-huh.
What are you talking about? It's not the day.
It's so interesting when it's convenient for him to be into arcane esoteric bullshit.
Yeah.
And when it's convenient for him to just sort of look down on it.
I mean, if he looked me in the eyes and said, Jordan, correlation does not equal causation, I think I'd throw hands instantly. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't be able to stop myself.
What if he said, Jordan, factorial?
Ah, I'd be like, I was looking for that word earlier. Thank you.
I think I was looking
for it. I am grateful.
So, Alex, you know, of course, he looked like he didn't care at his trial because nuclear war was on the mind. And that's why he looked like an aloof dick.
I get that.
But there's other things that are happening.
Okay.
Allegiances are shifting.
All right.
Loyalties are being tested.
Okay.
Ted Cruz
killed the queen.
Has come out and supported big tech merging with big media and having total immunity. It's a horrible person. Right here at the end of the line, folks, he supports World War III, by the way, in Ukraine. He really now uncloaks and shows you the horrible person he always was. I tried to hope that he was an opportunist and went against Trump and all that because he just wanted power. But I hope that, you know, in the end, he cared about his family, but he doesn't care. He is a Goldman Sachs operative who is as bad as they get.
You went against Trump. What are you doing?
I mean,
Ted Cruz is bad now, man.
I'm just writing down Ted Cruz equals bad 922.
Yeah.
So we'll see when like when Ted Cruz is good again, I will write down the date there. We'll see how long it is before Ted Cruz is fine again.
Probably a week.
Yeah, I was going to say Ted Cruz is actually a secret patriot, but he was a double secret Goldman Sachs double patriot.
Once he does something extreme that Alex enjoys, he got me back.
Oh, he closed the borders for real this time or whatever. Yeah, he's done it.
Alex went so far as to say that Beto is better than Ted Cruz, because at least Beto will tell you what he's about. All right, well,
sure.
I guess Alex is going to be fundraising for Beto.
That's such a baby. What a baby move.
So Alex has been dealing with some bankruptcy situations.
Naturally.
Last week, the judge, Judge Lopez, in the bankruptcy case, removed his lawyers and his reorganization officer because of conflicts of interest and a lack of transparency that was very clear on Alex's part.
Yeah.
And excessive spending that was suspicious.
Sure.
That you wouldn't expect somebody whose business was going in through a bankruptcy to spend $80,000 on security for a trip to Connecticut that you cut short because of nuclear war.
Yeah, but I mean, nuclear war.
Fair enough.
$80,000 to save your life from a nuke with 8 other guys?
It's really a steal when you think about it.
It is, yeah.
So anyway, Alex has some spin for this bankruptcy.
Okay.
So I went into bankruptcy to prove in these courts I don't have all this extra money to go under that scrutiny. And a lot of people see that and they go, oh, you're closing your doors. No, Chapter 5 is emergency reorganization, where you show you're having trouble paying your bills, but then you go into reorganization where it sets the benchmark for how much money you actually have so we can stay on air, continue to operate, and also show to the state courts and everybody else when they claim I have $400 million like they falsely did in the Texas show trial 4 weeks ago. We can show certified all the stuff that it's just a lie, and then that allows InfoWars, free speech systems to stay on air and continue to operate because they have federal laws where you're not supposed to just be able to sue somebody and shut them down. So we're very transparent about that. It's why we're doing it. And I'll just address this now here. I've never been in bankruptcy. We've never even taken loans here. And
except for my dad.
I looked at the big situation that was going on, the fact that we were on the verge of insolvency and all their lies. And
nuclear
I said, let's just put all the cards on the table and go into bankruptcy. And then most lawyers don't want to work with us. Most people don't want to work with us, but I got some good lawyers. But then the way the courts work is you have to have other separate lawyers that don't work for you that handle the actual bankruptcy part. And those lawyers, the judge ruled last week, Judge Lopez in Texas, had not been transparent about everything they'd done in the past. Not bad things, but the fact that they'd publicly done our last bankruptcy, the Democrats kicked back. So we got InfoWars, the website, back, and InfoWars Health, that's a successful company, and some other things. It was a very real bankruptcy that was tied to Free Speech Systems to, like, quote, pay debtors. But they kicked that back because they wanted their show trials. They didn't want that bankruptcy to hold up all these show trials.
Did you not actually owe them money?
And so the lawyers, not even the lawyers, the CRO that they appointed, did not disclose, even though it was public and all over the news, so why disclose that, that they'd done the previous bankruptcy just months before.
Law
reasons. I guess if you've been in one bankruptcy and now there's another, you don't fill out a form or something, it's an issue. So the judge removed the CRO and those two separate, quote, independent lawyers, who were all, by the way, the lawyers are Democrats. I'm not saying they did anything. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Your own lawyer in Texas was a former high-powered Democratic
Eric Holder appointee.
Eric Holder appointed.
Right. And he was in the courtroom in Connecticut.
Exactly.
You could see him there. But this is not really fair. It's not quite accurate. One of the concerns was that these people who were had worked on this other bankruptcy had also sought employment at InfoWars. And there was a concern that they would have a conflict if there was something that was inconvenient to Alex.
Right.
And so they were not impartial in a way that could be trusted by the bankruptcy
okay.
court.
Okay, so you're saying that if you hired a lawyer who was very interested in getting a job for you, mm-hmm. right, and that lawyer did a good job, then that lawyer would get that job, right? So maybe that lawyer would have an incentive to do a, quote, good job, well, as opposed to a accurate one.
These concerns could be there. And then I believe also, need to have somebody who's wholly independent, because
absolutely.
Part of what you're looking at is like a web of family businesses that are like, and, you know, if you're somebody who has any reason to have deference towards Alex,
right.
you're going to probably run into some brick walls.
You're going to run into brick walls that you didn't even know you needed to ask about. You know, it's that kind of thing where even if you are doing a good job, Alex will say something, and if you believe any word he says, he's going to get away with one thing, you know? Like, it doesn't matter if he gets away with all of it, but you just don't have the capacity to get every single thing mm-hmm. unless you are completely, I suppose, opposed to his continued existence.
Or just completely neutral to it.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Like, if you're just doing your job well,
right.
by the book, no attachment.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And it is so infuriating when he complains, like, oh, they claimed I have $400 million. No, the guy made an estimate based upon what he could glean from the amount of lie finances that you gave to him in the first place. If you had given him your actual finances, he wouldn't have estimated shit.
Wasn't
he would have told
also
you.
Also along the lines of, like, this is an estimate of what a business that has
good
numbers
business.
Like
yeah.
this
yeah, yeah, yeah.
run well would
a,
look. Yeah.
yeah. Well-run business, yes.
So speaking of a badly run business, Alex's book deal apparently wasn't so good.
She'll get the Great Reset, War for the World signed. That's a donation as well. That's why it's $99. Or get the regular book for 20-something bucks. Number one book in the world right now. And again, listeners also have sent us emails. Well, if you got the number one book in the world, shouldn't that fund your operation? No. I haven't paid. I said $80,000. They said I was being paid. It was $76,000 came in 2 weeks ago.
That's great.
And I was going to put the whole thing into Free Speech Systems because that's my money, but I'm so running out of money, I'm going to keep $20,000 and put the other into the company to keep the crew.
Should you be telling us this?
And yeah, they say at current sales rates, in a couple of weeks, I got another $80,000, $90,000. But that's how books work.
It's not the number one book in the world, also. It's number 18 on Amazon now.
We've gone through this.
It's been sliding. Been sliding a little. No, but I like to check in every now and again.
Of course.
The January 6th report, number 15.
Okay.
So that's out performing Alex on Amazon.
They sell the January 6th report?
Apparently, yeah. The committee's report.
That doesn't sound fair.
Steve Doocy and his wife, their cookbook, sliding down to number 10.
Oh,
ooh,
man.
How the mighty have fallen.
I'm really bummed out for them.
Also still beating Alex, the Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Yeah. But that should be there forever.
The Barefoot Contessa's cookbook is at number 16, beating Alex.
Wow. Who is the Barefoot Contessa? Is it all of us, or is it like the friends we met along the way?
Ina Garten.
Oh, okay.
That's
all right.
Also, Colleen Hoover, killing it. So much book sales.
God damn.
People like that YA romantic.
They really do.
It's fantasy.
People
I think it's fantasy. I'm not sure.
Crazy for that shit.
Anyway, Alex, you should have negotiated a better deal on these books. And also, where are we at if you need to keep 20,000 of that for yourself as opposed to putting it into the business?
What are you putting that 20,000 into?
Right. It makes no sense based on the way he lives.
What is happening? Yeah. Well, I wanted to get a car.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Then you get. Okay. Then don't tell us you're keeping 20,000 for. Okay.
Yeah. So Alex has some clips from the trial that he wants to play because this is about nuclear war.
And I want to now air before I hit more news and bring Robert Barnes on and hit this other news.
Oh, God, Barnes.
Some of these little excerpts of that the crew put together. One of them is where they attack me over cryptocurrency like I'm a criminal. Show the crew, put a little promo together from that. And then we're going to go ahead and air. Before I left yesterday, Connecticut, went to a apple orchard with my wife and daughter, my five-year-old. And that's AJ.
What?
Talks about the ultimate revolution, God's green earth, which is the counter to the tree of death.
Whoa.
What?
Apple orchards, my man.
What did you just tell me?
What are you confused by?
Are you telling me that he's going to play a clip of him in the courtroom, a compilation put together by his team, mm-hmm. and he's also going to play a clip of him and his wife and his daughter walking through an orchard together?
Because that's God's ultimate green earth revolution.
Well, I mean, it's just really kind of a nice Saturday, I suppose, so I'm fine with you having a nice Saturday.
Yeah.
Just
it's,
don't play
it's
it.
It's more wholesome than him peeing on the Georgia Guidestones.
There is that. There is that. You're right. This is a family show.
So there's no problem with Alex's getting crypto or anything like that, and that wasn't in the case. That wasn't the problem. The issue that was trying to be elucidated by Chris Meddy was the issue of Alex, do people know that when they give you crypto, it goes to your personal account?
Right.
As opposed to, because that could be seen as maybe deceptive.
Wow.
Fund the InfoWar, donate to this, and then it goes straight to his wallet.
Right.
You know, that might be manipulative business practices.
Yeah, and as he said in the trial, right, he said, well, I understand what you're saying, but it all just, it goes through my personal account to the business. Now, I would argue that perhaps for a good piece of evidence as to why maybe we should be suspicious about that, he said, I'm going to take $20,000 right now.
Of my book money that I said I was going to put all into the business.
So there might be a reason to be suspicious about it.
Well, there's definitely no trail that you know we are aware of that
that
money did go to the business. And I mean, I guess if you want to put it like really super abstractly, like it going to his legal fees or something like that.
It's still him.
Business expense?
Yeah,
question mark?
Yeah, right.
Quote unquote. Anyway, Barnes is going to be on.
Great.
But he's going to, don't worry, he's on to talk about Russia and the nuclear war.
Okay, good. I'm sure that he's not going to have anything to say about the case at all.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Robert Barnes joins us. Robert will also obviously get into Russia, the huge escalation there that is the big central story. Their national draft being announced, Putin saying, I'm not bluffing, threatening nuclear war. That's coming up this hour as well. But I think it's important, front and center, to talk about this show trial and your observations of this.
Oh, of course.
Where you see this going. Because I don't want to be over positive. They got a bunch of crying parents. We're barred from putting forward evidence.
Motherfucker!
A lot of former judges and current judges and a lot of people called
Holy
my lawyers
shit.
And said, wow, this blew up in their face. This is not going well.
Yeah, that's a vibe. You know, that's not something you like to hear.
Yeah, it is. It is fun.
Hey,
to
look,
hear.
I don't want to get too optimistic because I got crying parents. Fuck.
It
man.
Is. It is fun to like listen to Meddy in court. Just be like, you're using this trial as a fundraiser as we speak.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, and there is an irony because he did say when Alex was talking about the crypto thing, he's like, you're going to use that in an ad later.
Yeah, and then he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a part of me that wonders if he would have used it in an ad if he hadn't have said that. Like, maybe that's trolling, and if so, fair play. You know, I
There's
guess.
That.
It's low, it's a little shady, but do what you gotta do.
What's more concerning is if he didn't have the idea at all, and then Meddy gave it to him, and he's like,
that's a good idea.
Hey, that's pretty smart. You know, like, that's a concern.
How could I possibly have left money on the table like
this
that?
One. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I can't leave money.
Yeesh.
What a monster.
Yeah, so Barnes sucks, too.
Yeah, of course.
Alex and Barnes... Boy, this is a bad display of people.
Just a bunch of psychos sitting there being weird as shit.
Yep, just lying.
for...
I mean, let's be clear, just interject here. They showed a magazine we put out with Obama on the cover saying Obama comes for your guns. Let them talk about how I didn't like Obama in case jurors were Democrats. And when my lawyer tried to come back and cross-examine, the judge said no politics. I mean...
Oh, exactly. It's very much scripted. And there's the point of this whole trial is to present a trial where only one side is allowed to present their case. And it's the part of the case that's not considered relevant for this stage of the trial. And that's exactly what's taking place. And fortunately, you were able to successfully resist their effort for you to play to their script, for you to stick to their tale, for you to play the villain in their role.
Boy, I don't think so.
Because the truth of the matter, it's why they could never afford a trial on the merit. That's why they could never give you your day in court, as we've seen presented. I mean, the lead witness was an FBI guy who knew nobody who died that day. Why is he suing? Why is he here? He's still in the FBI. FBI lawyer. An FBI lawyer suing Alex Jones.
And he admitted that I never said his name and he never heard of me. Until the suit.
He did not admit that Alex never said his name. He says he didn't know. He doesn't know if he did. And yeah. Alex can't say that he didn't.
No. No, he can't.
Because there are so many videos that they did not produce.
You got it.
So legally, Alex can't make that claim.
Nope.
And this is pretty shitty on Barnes's part to try and present this person, Bill Oldenburg, as just an FBI lawyer who has no connection to the case.
Yeah.
As if he wasn't somebody who responded to the school. As if he wasn't somebody who was the subject of conspiracy theories yeah. surrounding people being actors that ended yeah. up conflating him with Mr. Wheeler, another yeah. Grieving parent.
As if he doesn't have PTSD from just walking on that scene.
Right.
You know,
right, right.
Like just being there.
No, he's just an FBI yeah. lawyer.
No.
Just an FBI lawyer.
I know it seems like there are rules and shit, but if Barnes is allowed to say this stuff in public and still be a lawyer, I feel like there aren't.
He really is even much of a lawyer.
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, I think he does stuff for attention.
That's a good
quite
point.
Quite frankly.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would be disbarred if anybody had reason to.
Or, I mean, like, yeah, I think that a lot of the stuff he does doesn't end up getting into a courtroom.
That's kind of, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of bullshit and a lot of, like, right. stuff that you can go on Alex's show and talk about.
Right.
Ooh, we're going to finally sue the vaccine people.
Right.
Great.
I got you.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
So Barnes just has a completely distorted, warped view of what happened in that courtroom.
Yeah.
I was waiting to hear from any of the plaintiffs how they that their injury was caused by something you said or did. And instead, what I heard were stories that didn't mostly relate to you at all.
So, I mean, he's just pretending that the whole thing about Matt Mills, the guy who interrupted the Super Bowl press conference,
yeah.
didn't happen in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Because that would satisfy this curiosity
sure,
that he has.
Yep, example number one.
I mean, this is just selectively removing these things from the conversation about the trial because they're mm-hmm. inconvenient.
Yeah.
You want there to be nothing. You
right.
want there to be no connection, and
sure.
you need it to there to be no connection for your argument to make any sense, so there wasn't anything.
Right, yeah. The fact that there was... It shouldn't get in the way of whether or not what you need it to be...
Don't let the truth ruin a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
yeah.
a good time.
Yeah. Anyways, buy our shit.
So Alex believes that he has scared the plaintiff's attorneys. Well, I mean, emotionally, maybe. But he thinks that they are, like, so worried about the case now. He's blown it wide open.
Boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't get into attorney-client stuff, obviously, Robert. But they were calling our lawyers back there yesterday morning. They were in full panic. They were on the ropes. And they basically didn't even want me to testify yesterday and didn't know what to do. And we said, yeah, we'll just come back and we're able to, quote, present our case, even though we're handcuffed and straitjacketed and restricted next week. Why even have, you know, Norm do a cross-examination on the limited stuff Maddie said? Because Maddie crapped the bed in Norm Pattis's words. But they were in complete panic. Even the media agreed that it blew up in their face.
So, yeah, Maddie is real worried, real scared of Alex's righteous, triumphant outburst.
Oh, man, this is coward shit. This is coward shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't engage in this. This is
yeah?
bad.
You think so?
This is real bad.
I mean, it doesn't come off weak.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't want to, you know, like when I played baseball, you know, I didn't get a strikeout. And then I was like, see, the problem was the ball was afraid to hit my bat. Mm. That was the main issue, right? It was that it wasn't that the pitcher was good. Mm-hmm. It was that that ball was like, oh, I'm terrified.
Well, and also I want you to write down really quick here, yeah, that he said Norm said that Chris Maddy shit the bed.
Yes.
Write that down because that'll be important later.
Will do.
So Barnes just, you know, he thinks that these people aren't ready to deal with truth people.
That doesn't sound true.
Like Norm and Alex.
Yeah.
Where do you see all this going?
Well, I mean, I think their script is not going to plan because their script is false. And that's their problem. And so they're trying to dot. And because Norm Pattiz has refused to go along with their effort to script this trial, and you refuse to go along with efforts to limit your ability to defend yourself adequately as you're constitutionally entitled to within the rules, they're not having success. And you're seeing their emotional frustration be publicly expressed. I mean, to be honest with you, from a pure legal perspective, lawyer perspective, this has been very incompetent representation. I mean, these parents have had ineffective representation. I understand that this is a very politically powerful, connected law firm in Connecticut. But I heard from many people who are on the plaintiff's side in this case who thought that the plaintiff's lawyer was terrible. And it's because he's more politically motivated to prosecute this case, it appears to me, than he is actually getting to truth or justice, because actual justice would rule against him and actual truth is, in fact, against him. And that's why he can't. That's why he's stuck in this situation, trying to do a Soviet style, Stasi style, Cuban Fidel Castro style show trial, but can't achieve it because the truth is still leaking out anyway.
Chris Maddy is bad counsel, says king of bad counsel, Robert Barnes.
Says guy about to be sued for incompetence.
If we take anything that the InfoWars corporate representative testified to under oath seriously, yes, yes, then yes, they're considering suing Robert
Barnes,
media star Bobby Barnes, for malpractice.
I mean, it is ridiculous to say that they're doing a bad job, because Barnes believes that the job itself is like impossible to do because it's fake, mm-hmm, right? So you can't do a bad job unless there is a real thing that you could do a good job for, right? Like, if Barnes had advice to them, here's what you should have done. You should have called this person, or you should have cross-examined
this
way.
His advice is you should have been angrier.
His advice is you should have not brought the suit.
Well, yeah.
So, like, shut the fuck up.
But he also was the lawyer who filed Alex's suit
exactly,
against the Young Turks.
Exactly!
So, I mean, it's a little bit pot and kettle.
Seems that way.
So here was where things got real messy.
Mm.
I think that Barnes has a conspiracy about Sandy Hook that is not good.
That's not good.
The question was, I mean, they can't even understand what the Reichstag fire is. They can't even understand what a false flag is. A false flag originated from pirates putting up a false flag to trick the boat they were about to hijack and loot. That doesn't mean the looting didn't happen or the hijacking didn't happen. A false flag is an event that did in fact happen, but the cause and the culprit are inaccurately identified. And that is precisely what's been taking place. And what were the issues concerning Sandy Hook, which, as it turns out, the politicians pocketed the money rather than put school safety first. And if they had done so, if they'd done something as simple as allow teachers to lock the inside of the doors of the bathrooms inside their classrooms, be able to lock the inside of the doors into their classrooms, be able to have other means of self-defense available, such as trained people with guns in the teachers and school safety personnel, then the reality is a lot of those kids are alive today. But the politicians couldn't let that message get out. And the reality is the Democratic Party, he didn't like the fact that you put up a poll at InfoWars that asked what might be a future false flag. But that's because what's the political reality right now? The political reality right now is the more school shootings happen, the more plaintiff's lawyers like his firm profit. The more school shootings happen, the more the Democratic Party, with their gun control agenda, profit. They don't have an incentive to maximize school safety. And that's why they covered up what happened at Sandy Hook and the school safety inadequacies that took place there.
Wow.
All right, so Barnes is getting added to the suit. Sandy Hook.
Well, this isn't even as bad as he gets on this episode.
Wow. Because he should be added to the suit. He's now part of InfoWars.
He's dancing around some interesting, dicey territory.
He said that the government covered it up.
Yeah. And that Democratic politicians were embezzling and pocketing money that was meant for school safety, and that's why the shooting happened, and they're covering that up by sort of making an example of Alex or something.
Yeah.
This is messed up.
He just did the thing that you get sued for in the place where they're getting sued for it.
It's strange. It's a strange tactic.
I mean, if I were him, I would say that Mehdi might have said to me that he is not doing a good job as counsel.
Well, he's not counsel, so that's cool. I mean, he just uses his fucking law degree as a prop, basically.
He just
goes and talks shit on extreme right-wing shows and his own podcast.
That sounds about right.
But yeah, the other thing, too, is that poll that was brought up is actually an important point. So there was a poll on InfoWars on the homepage that was, what will the next false flag be? A bombing, mass shooting, or whatever.
Right.
And part of this, the point of it was to illustrate how Alex is conditioning in advance for the audience to believe things that happen to be fake before they happen.
Anything.
Yeah.
If you're predicting something is going to be a false flag, when something happens, you're going to think it's a false flag.
Right. This is something that we've discussed quite a bit in terms of Alex's behavior.
Yeah.
The way he acts, the way he just gets these narratives in place in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But the poll itself was a really helpful visual explanation of that. And of course, Barnes doesn't like that because
bad. No. It looks real bad.
Yeah. So look, Barnes he's going for it. He's swinging at something.
All right.
Because they wanted to blame the gun rather than let the world know Big Pharma has culpability here. Because the way in which young men are being medicated on some of these drugs is often backfiring and has side effects they often don't fully know about or meaningfully remediate. They don't want to talk about inadequacies of school safety because that implicated the Democratic politicians and political class in Connecticut. And they don't want to talk about culture that glamorizes violence because it's a culture they profit from. And they don't want to talk about media glamorizing these individuals that commit these horrible crimes because big media profits a lot of the pockets the cash the most from anybody. And that's why they had to blame the gun and blame Alex Jones. They couldn't blame the shooter. They couldn't blame mental health. They couldn't blame school safety. They couldn't blame Big Pharma. And they need it to continue to happen because it's the only way they'll continue to politically profit off of these school shootings. And that's what's disturbing. That's what's maybe most unsettling, is a case that's about preventing the harm from school shootings and the consequences to vulnerable parents is being used to cover up the true culpable parties for this school shooting and to falsely blame those who are trying to defend constitutional rights and liberties in America.
So this is just bullshit. I mean, even if you take everything as true that he's saying, which I would say you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But even if you do, the trial that's going on isn't about school safety. It's not about any of this stuff. It's about the harm that Alex caused to these people by way of his lies about them, the denial of their children's existence.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to throw a bunch of mud at the wall and see what kind of designs you can make out of it.
Right.
But this is disgraceful stuff.
I mean, I just sometimes you like with this clip especially, I feel like you should play that in front of the jury as just it doesn't get more obvious that there's no other way to stop them than to stop them. Because the lawyer who started on this case comes back years later during the case after he was kicked off of it to do the thing the case is about.
Yeah, more or less. And, I mean, he's been monetizing coverage of this case.
He has.
On his own Viva Fry,
absolutely.
Viva Barnes Fry podcast or whatever the fuck. So he has every reason to have seen all of these things that he's pretending didn't happen. Like the Super Bowl press conference guy.
Yeah.
He's pretending that Bill Oldenburg is just an FBI lawyer. He knows that that's not the case.
Right.
He's watched the trial and made money off the analysis of it.
Right.
This is malicious lying.
Absolutely.
There's no other way around it.
No,
he's just intentionally lying to appease Alex and create like some kind of a weird reality where he's aggrieved.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is just textbook, like, here's punitive damages, the only punishment that will affect, like when you say punitive damages, the point of punitive damages is to punish the behavior, to get the behavior to stop, not to, like, find the behavior. You're like, hey, okay, if you kick that dude in the shins, you owe us $5, but you can kick him in the shins as long as you've got $5, you know?
Right.
Like, the idea is you have to stop this, and it's happening on the show after already did the thing.
It gets worse.
Oh, my God.
Sandy Hook didn't make money for InfoWars. Sandy Hook cost money for InfoWars. He knows that. So he's got to try to hide and lie and grandstand. But because he's dealing from a deck of deceit, he cannot come across as a credible, authentic, truthful voice in the courtroom. And that's why he continued to look bad, is because he was unable to trap you. He was unable to provoke you.
Talking about Maddie.
Unable to provoke him?
A little.
You want to go with unable to provoke him on that one, Barnes?
A little.
Into the caricatured response they imagine you are, and he was unable to get away with constant lies in the manner and method in which he made his presentation.
Manner and method.
As he couldn't get away with it, in his grandstand vision of this political theater where he's the hero at the end of the documentary in the film, he lost it. And that's why people watching are like, hold on a sec. I thought this was about parents. I thought this was about emotional injury. I thought this was about undisputed dishonesty. I'm not seeing any of that. I'm seeing politics, 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 theater, 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 because that's, in fact, what the plaintiff's counsel has always been about. They have used these parents for the gain of the political class with which they are aligned and the political causes with which they are assigned. That's the reality of it.
That might be defamatory.
That is defamatory. That don't rhyme.
The plaintiffs might be...
I think it should be added to the case. I mean, well, I don't know what else to say other than if you say the parents are being used by powerful interests, then you are part of the Sandy Hook denial.
Well, but what, like, how, if you are the plaintiff, how do you respond to that? Because if you say, no, I'm not being used by... Well, you are. You just don't
exactly know
that you're being used.
The best way to use somebody is if they don't know they're being used. Yeah.
Right. If you have a sincere belief in the case that you are a part of, then this is a denial of your trauma.
Absolutely.
This is a denial of your experience.
Absolutely.
It's, at very least, if not legally actionable, so shitty. It's unbelievably shitty.
Here's what he is saying. He is saying that ultimately what they went through was meaningless and has nothing to do with anything, and no one cares.
Hmm. Yeah. So yeah, Barnes sucks.
Yep.
Anyway, he also thinks that InfoWars tried to stop Sandy Hook conspiracies.
Sell me on this one.
This is a fun one.
Give me this pitch.
InfoWars didn't stalk anybody. InfoWars didn't send people to stalk anybody.
Release
InfoWars
the Kraken.
Didn't even talk about almost everybody suing ever. InfoWars mostly did not, was a critic, as Paul Joseph Watson, the editor during this entire time frame, was a critic of the Sandy Hook denier movement. InfoWars was a restraint on the Sandy Hook denier movement. The InfoWars made no money off of the Sandy Hook denier movement.
We had so debates. We had on-air debates on who was right.
Absolutely. Indeed, people were mad at you, calling you Bo Bridges, saying that you were fake because you were critical of the Sandy Hook denier movement for so long and so often. And so many other people were at InfoWars. And the reality is the reason why that people went to conspiracy theories in the denier movement was because the politicians in Connecticut were covering up their complicity and culpability in the inadequacy of school safety. That's why they're destroying the school. That's why they're hiding information from the Sunshine Laws. That's why they're not producing information pursuant to Freedom of Information Act or Open Records Act requests. That triggered a lot of people's conspiracy theories. They end up being wrong in their conclusion, but there was, in fact, cover-up taking place by the political class in Connecticut. And the only case the Connecticut courts didn't allow to go forward was the one that exposed the schools for inadequate school safety. They allowed $73 million shakedown of a gun manufacturer's insurers, and now they're allowing another effort to not.
And by the way, the judge bars me from letting them know about that.
Yeah, can't let people know about that, I guess. Yeah, so there's apparently a cover-up.
Yeah.
That Barnes, this is not something that is longstanding as a defense of Alex.
It does seem to have just happened.
I've not been aware of this line. Maybe I missed a couple episodes where this was going. I tune out when Barnes is on sometimes.
Right, that
might explain it. But this seems pretty fucking over the top.
Right.
It seems off the beaten path a little bit.
There's that.
And just disgraceful.
Well, I mean, it might as well be a full court buzzer beater is what he's going for.
Mm.
He's trying to throw it all the way down. Well, this is not good.
And there's a couple of things in that explanation that he was offering that I think are fair points. One is that Paul was fairly critical of this.
Right. And but you don't get to use that.
He was not listened to.
He was critical of you.
Yes, and you didn't listen to him.
He was not critical of other people.
Right.
He said specifically, you guys.
Yes. Alex, you need to stop this.
Alex, he used your name. If yeah. Alex is going to complain about other people not using...
So there's that. And then the second thing is that, you know, Barnes does bring up something that did happen, and that was that some people were mad that Alex wasn't extreme enough on this conspiracy. And then guess what? He got more extreme
on it. Yeah.
Because his audience demanded it.
Yeah.
And so actually, I think that this argument works very solidly against Alex. But I guess it, you know,
well, the
somehow
thing about
feels
it,
better for
the
him.
The thing about it is that if you ever get to reality in any of these theories, you're going to find it works against Alex on account of reality.
That is true.
Every part of reality that you inject into their conspiracies, you're like, well, that sounds bad for Alex. That's the real world.
It's reality is stationary in some ways.
Yeah.
So we on Friday had an interview with Elizabeth Williamson.
Yes.
I did not expect this, but she factors heavily into this episode.
Of course. Yeah, great.
Alex is mad about a tweet that she put
out. Oh, God.
Let me do this. This is the final point I want to hit on this. We're going to play a little clip and come back from break and get into all the other huge news.
It's not the final point.
Really going to shine here. I want your view on Russia and the economy and Matt Gaetz and the midterms in 45 days and so much more. But take Elizabeth Williamson. This woman is a Sandy Hook groupie. This woman writes her book, tries to make money on Sandy Hook, accuses me of it. She goes around for years and says stuff that's not true or twisted about me constantly. We never really follow her, but
sure.
Yesterday, I'm about to leave the Airbnb I'm at because we decided not to do the cross-examination and just do my own case next week. And
you ran away.
One of my security guys walks over and goes, look, here's the New York Times. It's all over the news saying your lawyer just attacked you in court and said you're a horrible person. Everything you say is fake. You did a terrible job.
Hmm.
And so that's why you're not testifying today. So I call Norm. He calls back in 10 minutes at a break. He starts literally freaking out. He said, we didn't even talk about you in the court case. I mean, it was behind the, it was, you know, it was in chambers and, you know, they want to cancel this. They're on the ropes. I didn't say that. I think you did a great job. Everybody's calling me, said you did a great job. He goes, you're joking. And I sent her the text, and he literally said he lost control. He started screaming at her when he saw her in the hallway. And so she says, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. So I'm thinking, Norm, I want to trust you, but it's hard to believe she'd lie that bad. He goes, I'm telling you, she's going to retract. It's a lie. She then said, I'm sorry I made it up in a tweet.
So suffice it to say, a lot of this is nonsense, but
yeah.
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
She put out a tweet that was essentially saying that Alex could have testified today if he wanted to, but his lawyer said in court that he looked so bad in front of the jury, he needs some time away from them.
Right.
That's what the tweet was. Now, the issue was that this is a poor paraphrasing.
Right.
And he didn't say that. Norm didn't say that. What mm-hmm. he had said was that he wasn't going to have Alex testify because they needed to lower the temperature.
Right.
And so this is the miscommunication, bad paraphrasing that Liz engaged in. And she put a tweet out saying, hey, he didn't say this.
Right.
So out of courtesy, I talked to him and I'm going to delete this tweet.
Sure.
You know, a fair correction. And I think your mileage can vary, as they say. But I think that's a fair paraphrasing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, okay.
Maybe that's not how Norm would experience it. And
sure.
I don't know exactly what else you would have meant by we got to lower the temperature.
I mean, yeah. I understand why she retracted it, and I understand why she felt the need to retract it.
Well, she used the language he said.
Exactly.
And that, I think, is, right. You know, that's the poor paraphrasing.
Right. I recognize that. On the other hand, words have to mean things, and the words that Norm said mean the words that Elizabeth said. So if you don't want words to mean things, then don't have words.
But there is enough wiggle room for interpretation, I think, that when you say he said, it gets a little bit messy.
Right.
But like I'm saying, I still think it's an all right paraphrasing, but technically you can make an argument for it is inaccurate.
I think that's my main problem with it. Mm-hmm. I think my main problem with it is that if you accept that what he said has wiggle room, then you are missing that what he said was what Elizabeth said.
Hmm.
If you are going to tell me that there's wiggle room with what he said...
I don't believe that there isn't a world where Norm could believe that he sincerely is saying, I don't want Alex to testify to lower the temperature because he's worried that Maddie is too hot. Or something like that.
Yeah.
I could see that perception being in his head when he says that.
Right.
I don't believe that that reflects reality.
Right.
But I can see Alex or Norm having that be their reality.
Right.
So to them, it is a misrepresentation.
Right. But them having a reality is the problem that we're existing in the first place.
I guess so.
Us indulging them in their reality, which is clearly not true, is the problem.
Well, I don't really know what else you do.
That's a good point.
You know,
we are now stuck in where we get
Alex
stuck in.
Alex can pretend to crush the globalists. We can't crush their false reality.
Right.
We have to.
Why not?
Well,
I think we need to.
How would you?
That's the thing. A false reality crusher.
Anyway,
we can make them up in false reality world,
tiny,
right?
Tiny bullhorn.
Exactly.
So Liz needed to make up this lie because Alex did too well in court.
Norm's doing victory laps. Everybody's calling him saying, Chris Maddie crapped the bed. Judges are calling him. Everybody's flipping out. It's incredible. Everybody agrees. It blew up in their face. He gets up there and says, well, everybody, you know, we had such a big victory. We're not going to do this. She goes, well, I'm not going to let that happen. So she goes and lies, even though this is on television. None of it was said, not anything close. And then deletes the tweet and says this, folks, I'm going to delete this tweet after talking with Ed Pattis Norm, Jones' lawyer, who raised it in the courtroom. He went in and said it's a lie. The judge would let him say it, though not with me. I asked him after what's wrong. He makes the accurate point that he did not say this as I wrote here. I apologize for the error. It's not an error. You're a lying witch that flew in there on a broom. I mean, Norm.
She didn't
Norm
tell
was
us
beside
that.
I said, Norm, stop freaking out. When I told him, he said, I called him during the break and he goes, you're joking. She didn't say that. He said, we didn't even talk about you in the hearing. We went back and they decided to recess for the day because they were in shambles. He goes, you're joking, right? He goes, he didn't believe me. She literally pulled it out of her butt.
So yeah, Alex did so well, they needed to spin somehow. So Liz came up with this fake tweet.
Right.
And also, a bunch of other people were calling Norm and saying that Maddie crapped the bed.
Sure.
So maybe Alex is misquoting somebody.
Hmm.
Maybe he said that Norm said that.
Ah.
Did Norm actually say that? Because if not,
ooh,
Alex is doing the exact same thing.
I want him to retract this.
Yeah.
I bet he will.
Yeah.
I bet he will. I'm sure.
It's just a dumb, childish game.
Yeah.
But I, you know, you got to get where you got to do what you can. You know,
I mean,
you only
is...
have a few opportunities where
right.
people have like, eh, it's a sincere mistake.
Sure.
Not a huge mistake.
Right.
And something that she apologized for and clarified. And because of that, Alex can now pounce and attack.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't want to touch any of these other things.
Well, and
because
she's trapped by having a real job and not being able to say, fuck you. Mm. You said that. Shut up. You know, like that's what I would have done.
Well, you're not like Norm then.
Exactly.
Because Norm is thinking about suing.
Do it.
It's not a coincidence that Elizabeth Williamson grifting off of Sandy Hook, personally profiting off the pain of Sandy Hook, would lie and libel about you in a libel trial. Because it once again reaffirms
that
if the truth came out, even with a biased jury pool, if the truth came out, they would not get the verdict they want because they've been pitching a fake narrative about.
So let's raise this. I mean, I think Norm is really thinking about legal action against her. This is serious, folks, because this is premeditated, pure whole cloth fraud. What they accused me of, to claim that a lawyer tried to destroy his client, which could destroy his job and his legal career. I mean, Norm was so angry, he couldn't even believe when I told him, and he was just flying off. I mean, I've never seen Norm so angry, and Norm's a hothead. So I am
yeah.
too.
I mean, agreed.
The fact that she thought she could just do this, well, let's put her picture back up there. I mean, who issues their official photo where it looks like you're a Mars Attacks alien? She's like Brian Stelter. She has no self-awareness of how nuts she looks. I mean, Charlie Manson can't make a face like that.
We're doing this again.
Yep.
That's great.
You know, I really, really, really would like it if Norm tried to sue her, because then they would be like, okay, well, she took the tweet down, right? Really fast.
Well,
so then this suit goes away, which would make you think if Alex had stopped talking really fast, then the suit would have gone away.
But it also raises this question for me, and that is, did Norm actually say that he was considering suing? Because if he isn't, then Alex is making shit up about
hearsay,
what his lawyer
absolutely.
Said.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is maybe worse than
I think it's exactly what Elizabeth Williams did.
So anyway, Barnes is a real pile of shit.
They keep talking. I mean, they talk about people sort of harvesting the pain of these families. Who's harvesting the pain of these families? It's these plaintiffs' lawyers. It's the press. It's Elizabeth Williamson for their personal and political and partisan profit. And it's really disgusting to see. And it's important for people to know out there, to my knowledge, over 90% of the people who have a relative who died at Sandy Hook, they're not suing Alex Jones. They're not suing InfoWars. The vast mass of people refused to go along with this case. Only a small percentage were convinced to go along with this case. That's another fact he can't have presented to the jury.
Well, especially if you say they refuse to go along with it, because that implies that it's all being driven
there
by this.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically, based on the things that we've seen, based on the behaviors, the experiences that people have gone through, I fully fucking understand why someone would choose not to sue Alex. It is a horrible thing to go through.
Yeah.
What these families have had to go through in the trial. And if there was not a sincerity behind what they were doing, I very much don't believe they would have made it even close to this far.
No, if they weren't sincere and dedicated working on behalf of the memories and fucking all of us, then they could have settled years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago. Alex would have been happy to pay them
right.
off.
Move
you know,
forward.
Like, oh, yep. yeah, whatever, $20 million. I'll go for it.
Claim a victory out
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Undisclosed settlement, and everybody would have just fucking allowed him to keep doing that bullshit. And that's what would have happened, because that's how we live most of our lives. We watch powerful people fuck off, you know, and do whatever they want.
Yeah, it's possible that could have been how it went, but it didn't. And now we're here, and Barnes is possibly defaming these families even more.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, over 90% of the people who have a relative who died at Sandy Hook, they're not suing Alex Jones. They're not suing InfoWars. The vast mass of people refused to go along with this case. Only a small percentage were convinced to go along with this case. That's another fact he can't have presented to the jury. So it's part of a process where they are the ones responsible for more risk of more mass shootings. They are the ones responsible for covering up political culpability and complicity in what happened at Sandy Hook, where kids' lives could have been saved but weren't because of rogue politicians pocketing money for reasons intended originally for school safety. They're the ones covering up for Big Pharma and our failed mental health institutions for young men in America. They're the ones profiting off of all of it. And they want to blame you for standing up for the Second Amendment. And they want to blame you for second-guessing what the politicians were doing. And it exposes what the whole case is really about in a simple nutshell.
All right. Well said. We're going to come back and do 10 more minutes with Robert Barnes.
Well said.
You committing the crime.
Well, I mean,
well
look,
said.
The way that this is being expressed, a very simple reading of this could be that the plaintiffs who have decided to go along with this case,
yep,
are responsible for further school shootings.
Yep.
They're engaged in a cover-up of the things and the school safety at Sandy Hook and
what
have you. That's
what words mean. Yep.
It definitely follows from pronoun reference.
You know how pronouns are important to language and understanding them.
Yes.
You use the pronoun to refer to the people, which is why even if you don't say their names individually, for instance, say you didn't say the name of every single person who had a relative at Sandy Hook. So sure. But however, you did use a collective pronoun to describe all of them, meaning you are talking about them. Words.
Oh, yeah, we're not done talking about this case,
apparently. I am shocked. I'm genuinely... He's supposed to be a lawyer, and he's doing the thing.
Jordan.
He's supposed to know.
This is about nuclear war.
I forgot. You're right. Hold on. I wrote that down at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since then.
Yeah. No, we're going to talk about... more conspiracies about Alex's case.
Sure.
So let's raise this in closing at the Russian News and let you go. You've done a great job, Robert Barnes. You watched the trial. I don't know if you caught this part. You covered most of it live, and it was viral. Chris Matty, the Democratic Party operative, literally gets up there over an hour and brings up how we gave them total discovery, which we're not allowed to say we gave them discovery, of the 287,000 emails with key search terms they gave. Weeks after they filed suit on us in 2018, we're sent a bunch of emails saying, I want to get you, I want to hurt you, we're going to kill you, Alex Jones,
sure,
for Sandy Hook. And embedded, because we're not tech people, there are secret embedded links, just links to child porn. So we turn the email over, they know how to scan them and magically find the secret links.
Highlight
and then Chris
with
Manning
your cursor.
Gets up there and says, okay, you filed a lawsuit against the Young Turks that you filed just to get them to stop saying I'm a child pornographer and all this. He said, yeah, it's true. The FBI said you didn't do anything. It was sent to you. You didn't open it. But then an hour later, he says, so you did send child porn. Let's just admit it. You did it. So he wanted to cover himself earlier, knowing for clips on the internet, they would later say it. I said, wait, you just said earlier I was innocent. So imagine the evil of that.
That's not what Alex said. Alex said yes.
Yeah.
Alex fully understands what Matty was asking him, but he's pretending not to because he doesn't want his audience to understand the situation.
Yeah.
Matty was asking Alex about how he had sued the Young Turks over statements they'd made about sending child porn to the Sandy Hook plaintiff's lawyers. This was meant to really make it clear that when he's on the other side of things, Alex fully understands how damaging defamatory claims can be and that he's more than willing to sue people for making such claims.
Happily.
Matty was very clear that the FBI had looked into it and the emails hadn't been opened and they were sent to Alex and they were turned over unknowingly, which is why Alex felt in the right to sue. However, if the claim was just that, quote, Alex Jones sent lawyers child porn and emails, then that claim is technically true.
Yep.
It wasn't intentional and Alex didn't know what was in the emails, but those emails did get sent from Alex's team to the plaintiffs and they did contain child porn.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the tweet said that was included in Alex's complaint against the Young Turks, which is why Matty was making this distinction. The thing that Alex was suing over was a statement that was technically accurate, but was suggestive in a way that could lead to reputational damage. This was all to illustrate that Alex's posturing and defiance in this case are decisions that he's making, and that he's more than happy to use the courts as a weapon when he feels aggrieved, even if the technical claim that was being made and being called defamation is, strictly speaking, accurate.
In this case, if they wanted to file a free speech defense towards this, the Young Turks, maybe they could have fought their First Amendment rights or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean,
and they could have gone to court and maybe they would have won or lost, but they would have had that option. In this case, it is not that case.
Yeah, I don't know everything that's said in the videos on the Young Turks because I can't imagine them making the kind of claims that Alex is saying they did. But
it would be really weird.
In the bit of the lawsuit that Matty brought up in court, it was just the claim that is technically true.
Right. Right.
But yeah, so Alex, it's just a illustration of Alex's willingness to use these things that he's pretending to not respect when he's on the other end of it.
Absolutely.
Because he's a piece of shit liar.
And the defense is lackadaisical, it is a generous word, willingness to give over discovery. You know, we're just going to give you a million emails that you can't go through, and we definitely won't go through them. Oops, they have child porn.
So, Alex, if you'll recall, early on when this happened, Alex decided that maybe Chris Maddie had done this.
Sure.
And he speculated about these theories with Norm Pattis sitting at the desk with him on air, where Alex is clearly drunk. And hey, guess what? Alex is back to that theory.
So imagine the evil of that. To know how to secretly find secret embedded invisible images. I'm not saying he did it. He said, I said that. I didn't say that.
Again, well, highlight with your cursor.
I didn't say Chris Manning did that. I just said it's very suspicious. And then at the end, he comes out an hour later and says to the jury, he sent child porn to the families. Man, I mean, this is unbelievable. These people are unbelievable, Robert. They had to use high-tech systems, we're told, to scan 280,000 emails, and they scanned them. And then they reported us to the FBI for the information. The FBI said we're not guilty because we never opened it. But can, I mean, this doesn't look too good.
No doubt.
What?
I mean,
Alex is just dancing around this.
It doesn't look good. No, I mean, that's again another factual statement. I don't know. Sure. I don't know who he thinks this looks bad for.
Apparently, the plaintiff's attorneys.
I doubt it.
Yeah, but I'll just say this: how do you get 280 something thousand emails, and then scan them for secret links, and then they? I mean, it just it doesn't sound good.
Well, there was a lot of concern at the time as to what the source of this was and whether it was somebody aligned with the plaintiff's lawyers, allied with the plaintiff's lawyers.
Was attacking us for Sandy Hook in it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, it was they sought information that was guaranteed to produce stuff that you didn't even know existed.
Oh, my God. This is all so suspicious.
What?
Yeah. I mean, they're just getting closer and closer to, like, come on, they did this. It was a setup.
I was never really sure about what was going on until he waited like 45 minutes, an hour, and then said, but you did send child porn, and looked at the jury. And I was like, oh, my God, you just did it. He did it right there. He did it right there.
Well, and he completely misrepresented your public presentation about that. What you said was whoever sent that child porn information, you would like to have outed. And so
I said, whoever did it $1 million, and then he spun it that I said he was doing it. Is this?
You did. You just did again? Then.
Projection?
You did like 5 seconds ago.
That's always a possibility. I mean,
you said he did it.
I'm not saying he did that. He's a nice person.
What?
I mean, yeah. I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
You just said I came to a revelation tone of voice that when
he
asked
three
me,
times,
you he did it. You said. He did it. He did it.
Right there. He did it.
Does no one know what pronouns mean? Are pronouns just non-existent for these people? How can they be so mad when people change their pronouns and they have no concept of what they are?
But look, Alex doesn't think that Maddie did it.
All I know is that he completely misrepresented at the time how that came about, and he misrepresented in court your public presentation. He made it sound like you stuck his photo up and pointed to it and said you wanted his head on a stake. All false. That's all false. That's just a lie. It's just one more lie.
I don't think Maddie sent me that, and we didn't say that at the time. All I know is the whole thing's disgusting. All right, 5 minutes. I'm giving you the floor.
Unbelievable.
Unfucking real.
Yeah. I mean, if you're listening to this, what do you come away with? How confused would you be? By what point is this guy trying to make?
I mean,
and I think anybody would be justified in thinking, oh, the conclusion that I'm supposed to go to is that the plaintiff's lawyers did send Alex this.
Yeah.
But he's saying, no, he didn't.
Right.
As like sort of a facetious way of not getting himself sued again.
I think he's a nice person.
Yeah.
That did it. Now I won't get sued. See, if you say they're a nice person after you defame them by claiming that they secretly, maliciously sent you child porn in order for you to send child porn to them, and then are part of the conspiracy to convince the families to go along with a fake lawsuit, I think what you would come away from with this broadcast is that the Sandy Hook thing was a false flag run by the Democratic fucking party.
And because they need to finish Alex off, they've planted stuff in his emails. And
so, to recap, Alex is being sued for claiming that this fucking...
So we get to Russia a little bit.
Sure. Why? Why?
Barnes has some ideas.
What's Barnes got to say?
I think his idea is basically just fucking give most of Ukraine to Russia.
It does seem like that.
The parts of Ukraine that want to be part of Russia should just allow that to be part of Russia, end the dispute, finish it, go on. No, there's no reason for continued backfiring economic sanctions that are going to induce a great reset agenda in the Western world. The pound has dropped to the lowest level in 40, 50 years. The euro has dropped to one of the lowest levels it's ever been. They're having a fuel crisis in Europe. They're having a food crisis in Europe. That food crisis is expanding to other parts of the world. The net effect of this is going to be really ugly, that the West war on Russia has failed. Even Henry Kissinger has acknowledged this. It's time to do as Trump suggested, do a deal, cut a peace deal, get out. So if we look at what's happening in China, the relevant and pertinent issues are...
Alex is gone.
Has there been a change of the guard?
You've got five minutes.
At this point, it's just
you better
rumors,
use all five.
But some of the rumors were reinforced by sudden flight cancellations in different places.
Yeah, so Barnes then, now he has to spin some wheels, and so he's like, oh, hey, I saw a meme about China.
Oh, my God. You realize Alex said, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Here's the floor.
It is still a little rude.
Yeah.
For Alex to just be gone unannounced.
That's fair.
Yeah.
He was hungry.
Also, I love that this is just how things work.
Yeah.
You can invade a country, and then you can hold a referendum to see if people want to vote to go. And it could be a totally fair election, and then it's part of your country now.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
All right, Barnes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm amazed at Barnes's foreign policy acumen.
Yeah.
I think basically what he's saying is, guys in Ukraine, I understand you want to be people, but the euro's low, so you're Russians now.
What if Canada invaded like Wisconsin?
Well, we got to give it to them.
Right. Well, if they wanted to.
Frankly, Wisconsin could vote to become part of Canada tomorrow. Remember whenever that civil war happened? Why didn't the South just say, fine, you own us?
So anyway, Barnes leaves, and this is 2.5 hours in.
Yeah.
Alex is a little bit upset about Russia.
Sure.
But man, I mean, it's hard to estimate how dangerous this Russia situation is. I mean, this is crazy. All right, I've got some other news I want to hit on the economy and on super mega cities in the New World Order when we come back.
So, yeah, we had other things, though, too, you know, super mega cities.
Sure.
Okay.
I thought this whole thing was about...
I did, too, but it was an hour plus of Barnes.
Yeah.
Probably an hour straight of ads.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this show is mostly ads. Listen to some of this bullshit.
1776coin.com, the Teddy Roosevelt Man the Arena coin is a fundraiser coin. Again, if you haven't watched NPR, PBS, you're a lucky man or woman. The old days, they had some pretty good stuff, but, you know, they have fundraisers every quarter.
When?
What? What are you talking about?
$50 for a t-shirt or $100 for this or $70 for, it varies for a coffee cup. Everybody watching knows the coffee cup costs $5. Everybody watching knows the t-shirt costs $6. With our silver, you know, it costs like 30-something bucks. But, the point is that it's a memento that you supported and you were part of that. So the communists have taxpayer money to fund NPR and PBS. We don't have that. We don't have big sugar daddies. We have you. So that's why it's a fundraiser coin. If you're a founding member, you can get it for $99. If you're not a founding member, bought the other three coins or one of the other three coins, it's $130. And the money is needed desperately to fund our operation. That's why we're signing signed copies of The Great Reset and The War for the World for $99, because we need the extra money desperately. Please don't let me prove how much trouble we're in and how much trouble you're in by us imploding or shutting down. We need your help now. I thank you. I appreciate you. Infowarsstore.com or 888-253-3139. And again, a lot of this is no-brainers. Look at these three products. Sold out from up to a year in the case of DNA Force Plus.
It just goes on and on and on. Like, maybe, you know, a bit earlier in the episode even, sure. there are just long stretches like this. And I was listening to this, and I was like, I can't imagine watching this and being like, man, this guy gets it.
Yeah.
He is on the ball. Like, how is there a value in this as something to observe? I just don't know. I mean, I didn't put in a number of clips about like how Alex is like, ah, Matt Gaetz has been vindicated.
Right.
So there's
right.
that news. Apparently Biden said something weird. You're
sure.
getting a little bit of these news things.
Eh.
Sort of just vague proclamations of nuclear war coming, and then so much petty grievance about his trial.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we've seen this exist, you know, like cults, people who've escaped cults or you know, like Scientologists and that, like, you know, they'll come back and they'll say, like, the leader of the cult, every day he would just talk.
Yeah.
And we would all just sit there and listen, and it didn't really matter what he said, you know? It
true,
was just about
true.
The basking in the,
yeah,
the my
so.
Father is proud of me, I suppose. You
I,
know?
I guess there may be something to that. Because, you know, you hear people who are like, I've been listening for 10 years. I'm
yeah.
like, how?
To what?
Yeah.
What do you hear?
Yeah.
You know?
But how can you handle your brain being jostled all over the place
Absolutely.
Like that?
But yeah.
Anyway, we have one last clip here. And this is how Alex ends things. This is so sad.
And we're shipping out within 24 hours if you order Monday through Saturday. If you order on Sunday, it'll take a few days to ship your product. But we are, in many cases, shipping same day for orders at InfoWarsStore.com
Man.
Or 888-253-3139. Now, here's Melinda French Gates giving a little speech. 55 seconds. Here it is.
For the tireless work she's doing to help steer the world through COVID-19, for being an extraordinary champion for global health, and for the immeasurable inspiration she provides to girls and women around the world, including me, I am thrilled to present the 2022 Global Goalkeeper Award to a remarkable leader of our time, Ursula von der Leyen.
That's the head of the European Union, and you see that rainbow swastika.
Melinda French Gates?
That's the symbol of the Great Reset and the Bilderberg Group. And
their Melinda French Gates?
And Klaus Schwab and the WEF. So literally cutting off Europe, literally pushing forced inoculations. Any questions whether Melinda French Gates is a globalist are absolutely destroyed.
What?
These are eugenicists.
Where was she?
These are depopulationists.
You can't just say that!
Killers of the very worst magnitude there is. All right. I'm going to end the broadcast
yeah.
with the first 8-9 minutes of Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement.
Oh, fuck
oh,
you.
God.
Fuck you. You fucking piece of shit.
He's like, I'm done.
Fuck you.
Melinda Gates is bad again, so I got to go watch a little bit of my movie.
Oh, my God. That is fucking...
It's
one,
so lazy.
That clip was not about her.
No, it was Melinda Gates giving an introduction to Ursula von der Leyen,
sure.
who's the head of the European Commission.
Right.
Yeah, and there's no rainbow swastika. It's a circle. There's a circle. He just called it a swastika for
yeah.
no reason.
Well, it's a circle.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't imagine anything more trivial than so much of what he spends his time with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that this episode is deeply troubling. Barnes's behavior is...
I think legally it's deeply troubling.
I'm no lawyer. I'm no Barnes. But this doesn't seem okay.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think that... I'm no lawyer, but I do know a little bit about decency.
Right.
And this is past that mark.
Right.
Sure.
You, one might say you do not know karate.
No.
But you do know crazy.
Yes. Sure. So yeah, I hope there's some consequences for this because this sucks.
Yep. This has got to stop. Somebody's got to stop this.
But this is what Alex had to leave Connecticut for.
Somebody has to stop this. It can't keep going on. Barnes came on to do, and he did the thing. Mm-hmm. He did the thing.
Yeah.
Like there's no not saying that he didn't do the thing.
Yeah.
He did it.
I do wonder if there's some sort of a cushion of whatever he was saying in terms of legal defensibility. I don't know. I think that it's disgraceful behavior. And,
absolutely.
He should lose his license.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyway, Jordan, we'll be back.
Indeed we will, Dan.
But until then... Mm-hmm. We have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at @knowledge_fight.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Wilford Snibble Snabble of the Gribble Pibble.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.